do National Radio. National Radio on RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcasting.org. This is the 9th of January. We're 9 days into the year already. Oh, my God. 2018, the current year. I will be taking calls today. The call-in number is 1-800-313-9443. Well, there's always a lot going on. I have a list of stuff, and this is not necessarily in the order of importance, but it's in the order that I wrote it down. Let's start off. We have Ivanka Trump. I have called her Princess Shiksa because she is, of Ivanka's Shiksa daughter, an abomination. This is the Yiddish word abomination, which they use. It can be used. It can refer to a whore. It can be used. It's commonly used to describe Gentile women. And she is married to Jared Kushner, one of these noble Jews in the White House that President Trump has surrounded himself with. One of the sources of great information in Michael Wolff's book, which is down on the list, I think, at number 5 today. So we'll be getting there. But Ivanka, I refrained from calling her Princess Shiksa. I started calling her Princess Shiksa when she went to her father with a picture of a baby in a gas mask and said, "This proves that you need to bomb Syria and potentially start World War III." Because there was a baby in an oxygen mask. I have a picture of it. It was thoroughly reprehensible. She is thoroughly reprehensible. She's his daughter. And so I have been thinking, well, Trump might want to appoint me to some position in the White House, and I know how he feels about his family, so... But then I thought, well, is he really going to appoint me to anything? He ought to, but he's not. And so, at the risk of permanently making myself persona non grata in the Trump White House, I have proclaimed Ivanka Princess Shiksa. But she is in the news a little bit. It's not worthy of that much discussion. But she's in the news for having tweeted about how wonderful Oprah's speech was. Oprah, her speech at the Golden Globes, where everybody dressed in black because rape is such a man thing. And, making an inappropriate comment is as bad as rape, unless it's rape of German or Swedish women by Muslims, in which case, well, it would have happened anyway. If you listen to yesterday's show, you know what I'm referring to. So they get more upset about what could, a whole variety of things, but they get more upset about somebody, there was a lot of discussion in some of the tech companies about these tech nerds, and being a nerd's not a bad thing, but making awkward come-ons to females there. That was horrible. The idea of an intelligent white male trying to initiate some sort of relationship with a white female, that's horrible. But having 1,000 Muslims grope and rape German women in Cologne on New Year's Eve while setting off fireworks and firecrackers in every direction, assaulting people, that's okay. That's just, a cultural misunderstanding. Oprah gave her speech dressed in black. Everybody's dressed in black, and she is trying to present herself as the alternative to Trump. And one thing Donald Trump did by coming out of, can't really call it nowhere, but he came out of a non-political realm of entertainment TV, is he has set a precedent for Oprah or for Mark Cuban, both of whom are billionaires. I think Oprah is a billionaire. She's close enough. Or others, you have the actor The Rock, who is much talked about, Dwayne Johnson, who, by the way, is part Samoan. And I believe on his father's side, he is Black Nova Scotia. There was some little population of blacks in Nova Scotia for at least 200 years or so, and he descends from that. It's a very small group. So he's not descended of American slaves. That is his particular background. So Donald Trump came out of nowhere, but he has made the nowhere of Hollywood into a somewhere where a potential successor could emerge from. And Ivanka, Princess Shiksa, is promoting a potential successor to her father by tweeting how inspiring Oprah's thoroughly idiotic speech was. Good enough. Let's move on. Tweet. Let's. I'm skipping number two for the time being. Let's go to number three. Mark Collette, who was our guest yesterday, and he was in the news bigly over the past 24 hours. Not so much for his appearance on National Bugle Radio, but he had a tweet. I don't do Twitter. I don't really look at Twitter unless it's in the news, and I'll go look it up. But Twitter is microblogging, and it's become a means of communication for many people and means of disseminating information. And Mark Collette had a tweet that contained a 30-second video of Paris sidewalk scenes. And, you know, in my when I was growing up in my house, my father had brought back from Europe a number of paintings. Paintings that were probably purchased from street painters. I'm not sure where they came from. But they were of street scenes. Many of the Champs-Élysées in Paris, the broad avenue that leads up to the Arc de Triomphe, and also some of Venice. He's an Italophile. And so these street scenes of Paris, they were on my walls as a kid growing up, and I studied French in junior high school and high school and college, and I spent time in Paris, and at one time I was quite good at French. Not so much anymore. I try every now and then to listen to the French comedian Dudonné, who's very interesting, but I can't really keep up. Paris was very beautiful, but not anymore. At least large parts of it. Large parts of it look more like Dhaka or Lagos or Ouagadougou, which is a real city. It's the capital of Burkina Faso, the formerly known as Upper Volta, Ouagadougou. Looks more like Ouagadougou than it does the City of Lights. It's very sad. He tweeted that and said this is what limitless third world immigration does to even the most beautiful city in the world. And Laura Ingraham, the Fox News presenter, she retweeted it simply with the comment, "Can anyone confirm this is Paris?" It's fair. Well, so Newsweek, among others, then lashes out at Laura Ingraham for having retweeted something from a neo-Nazi white supremacist. No. What did they call him? An ally of neo-Nazi white supremacist David Duke. Well, so that became a big brouhaha. But of course, the point of it, whether it's Mark Collette's point, whether it is the point that one would assume Laura Ingraham was trying to make in her retweet, is look what's happened to Paris. That what was the most romantic city on earth 30 years ago has become a trash heap in many areas, a literal trash heap. And if you want to know what I'm talking about, go to nationalbugle.com, which is a very good resource, and it's gaining momentum. And anybody who's still looking at the Drudge Report is going to want to switch over. I'm gaining momentum. I would say it's better than the Drudge Report already. And in a few months, it's going to be far and away the best news aggregator. But go to nationalbugle.com. You'll see an article, and you'll be able to find Mark Collett's tweet in that video. There's lots of videos of Paris and Mark Collett, of course. If you go to his YouTube channel, I think his most recent YouTube video is of also of Paris. It's a different scene. It is a Paris police woman being savagely beaten by third world immigrants. So there you go. And this is what endless third world immigration can do to you. Let's move on. Let's see here. All right. Next, we have the Russia hoax. Well, this is a continuing story. Have there been any big developments? Well, maybe that there's rumblings that Donald Trump might get around to ending this, maybe get around to having Mueller fired, or maybe Mueller's going to interview him. But this keeps simmering away in the pan. There's nothing to it. The whole idea that, first of all, that, you know, the accusations are that Russia meddled in our election. They interfered with the election. You know, first it was to try to trick people into thinking that the actual voting machines had been hacked into, and they were using the word hacked, that they hacked the election. And of course, the Green Party candidate Jill Stein, a member of the tribe, she, in a bizarre move, had requested recounts in the three states that would have flipped the election to Hillary, citing the possibility of hacking and Russian hacking as something that should be looked into. No, of course, there's absolutely nothing there. And so then they had to pivot. Well, not hacking the voting machines, but hacking the email, the emails of Hillary Clinton or the DNC server. And because these emails that somebody had acquired through some means had been released by WikiLeaks. And you can't let the contents of the emails be the story. Why? Because the contents of the emails showed that Hillary Clinton knew, as Secretary of State, that she was assisting ISIS, that she knew it. She wrote in emails, and John Podesta had written, between her and Podesta, it's clear that when she, in 2012, while she was still Secretary of State, when she had consummated the largest ever arms deal between any two countries in the history of humanity, so the $60 billion sale of weapons to Saudi Arabia, that she knew that some of these weapons were going to go to ISIS. She knew it, but still wanted to give Saudi Arabia their Christmas present. Yeah, as if they really care about Christmas. There was all sorts of other stuff in the emails. The contents of the emails just showed that Hillary was thoroughly corrupt, that she is a fraud, a liar, a traitor. But you can't let that be the story. So the story is, it was hacked. Even though all the evidence shows that these servers weren't hacked, that this was a leak, that this was an insider who walked out of the DNC with the emails on a thumbnail drive. Who could have done that? Who would have done that? Who might have had the motivation? Well, there was this gentleman named Seth Rich. He was a Jew who was a supporter of fellow Jew Bernie Sanders, who, as we all know, was being cheated out of his chance at the nomination, He ran a very, very close race. If it had not been the cheating at the DNC, he may well have been the nominee. But the as Sean Hannity likes to say ad nauseum, literally ad nauseum, the fix was in. Is it so inconceivable that Seth Rich had walked out and had passed these emails along and then later paid for it? With this bizarre murder, he was murdered. Oh, a robbery, a botched robbery. Well, if you kill somebody in the middle of the night in Washington, D.C., and you're not being chased away by police, and your objective in the first place had been to steal something, why would you not steal anything? At any rate, somebody, very likely Seth Rich, maybe somebody else, had leaked these emails. There's no evidence whatsoever that there was a hack. They had leaked it. But let's just go on a little bit further. The whole idea that Russia and the rest of the world, except Israel, are best friends forever, that Russia and the rest of the world have to just hold their breath and keep still while we go through our, almost nonstop electoral process, this two-year electoral process for electing the president, and they hold their breaths and keep quiet while we undergo this sacred process. We know how sacred it is, and we know that it's never flawed, and there's never any fraud. Really? And meanwhile, we've got, let's start with the easy stuff. We've got, radio Free Europe or Radio America, what's it called? We've got these government radio stations that are blasting into countries. Okay, we've got these so-called nonprofits that are funded by the government, like the Centers for Democracy or the Republican Institute or whatever it is. There are some of them, and they go in and educate candidates in countries like Ukraine on the electoral process. They go in and they throw money around in foreign countries, and we know that's out in the open. And we know that the CIA does it. We know that the CIA had funded all sorts of anti-communist, but what else besides anti-communist parties all over the world? The Liberal Democratic Party in Japan, which was the ruling party almost nonstop, including up to today, for the past 65 years, nonstop. And this has just been going on and on and on. Then not to mention covert operations to overthrow governments, like what you had in the Ukraine successfully, where they overthrew the government that the people had elected and installed what's basically a puppet government, a protectorate of what was the Victoria Nuland bureau in the State Department. It goes on and on and on. Yet we expect everybody else to hold the precedent.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality. There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com. Educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer from me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Welcome back to the show. Welcome back. And this second segment, this is a shorter segment, and what I'm going to do sometimes, not every day, maybe a couple times a week, is I'm going to read from the top headlines on ZioWatch.com, which is another of my website, but you can also see it down at the bottom of the page on NationalBugle.com. It's a news summary, and this is the news. It's a news, well, ZioWatch. It's news about Zionists and Zionism. So, and then later on, after the next break, I'll be back to taking calls. If you care to call in, then that number would be 800-313-9443, 1-800-313-9443. First, from the Jewish Telegraphic Agency, German bill would allow expulsion of migrants who espouse anti-Semitism. Germany's mainstream conservative parties are proposing legislation that would allow states to expel foreigners who make anti-Semitic statements, including the refusal to recognize Israel's right to exist. The party of Chancellor Angela Merkel, the Christian Democratic Union, and its sister party in Bavaria, the Christian Social Union, have proposed legislation that they say would take such hate crimes much more seriously, according to the German newspaper Die Welt. I guess that's how you would say it. Party leaders reportedly hope that the legislation will be passed before International Holocaust Memorial Day on January 27th, which recalls the liberation of Auschwitz extermination camp by Red Army troops back in 1945. CDU legislator Stephen Halbreth told Die Welt that the move was intended to crack down on anti-Semitism among, quote, migrants with Arab background and from African countries, unquote, While education and other preventative works are important, the state must be able to wield the ultimate threat of deportation, he said. Anyone who incites anti-Semitic hate and rejects Jewish life in Germany cannot stay in our country, he said. It's very interesting that the Germans are willing to accept migrants, Muslims, Africans coming and raping children, raping women, and killing people and living off the state. But if they're not going to accept Israel's right to exist, you're out. You're out. Well, let's see. Let's see what happens with that. Next story. Also from the Jewish Telegraphic Agency. U.S., Israel, Saudi Arabia policies on Iran would lead us to war, French president says. French President Emmanuel Macron said the policies concerning Iran of the United States, Israel, and Saudi Arabia may lead to war. Macron, who in November said France wished to counter Iranian hegemony in the region, made the remarks on January 3rd in Paris during a talk with media outlets and diplomats, the Russian news channel RT reported. Quote, "The official line pursued by the United States, Israel, and Saudi Arabia, who are our allies in many ways, is almost one that would lead us to war," unquote, Macron said in his statement, which is unusual in that it lays blame on France's allies rather than its estranged trade partner, Iran, for a perceived risk of escalation. This is very interesting because Macron, when he was elected last year, and I know I had on my National Bugle podcast a French commentator who, you know, the many people in the alt-right or the Patriot movement had been hoping that Macron would lose, that Marine Le Pen would become the president of France because of, you know, a potential anti-immigrant stance. But Macron, who's an odd fellow, he's very young and has a it was interesting when he and Trump appeared together with their wives because Macron is younger than Melania. Yet Macron's wife is almost the same age as Donald Trump. Macron's wife has children, I think, even older than Macron. Macron has no children, but his wife has children. And they met in high school when she was a high school teacher and he was a student. They're married. They're about 25 years separated in age. And, you know, the idea that many people had was that Macron was a globalist, he would be just another pawn. But, you know, the French presidents often are not what one would think. I would not have thought that Jacques Chirac would have been the big opponent of the first Gulf War. And here, Emmanuel Macron, he's made all sorts of statements about migration and whatnot. All right, we will be back after the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech. Quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited. So take a breath, head to aroutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at aroutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back to the show. Welcome back. Well, I hope you enjoyed that ZioWatch news roundup. There's always more where that came from. So I'm going to start pushing my sites, nationalbugle.com, ZioWatch.com. They're both still works in progress, but I think they're good. Now, we are taking callers, 1-800-313-9443. Bob from Michigan, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Bob. What's on your mind?
Well, I haven't even followed what's on your show, but we've had, damn near 100 inches of snow since Christmas, and it has not thawed, and I got to make a path out for my cows. And cows are a good thing, pal. They know what they're doing, but sometimes they need a little help.
Mm-hmm. So 100 inches in Michigan, what are you, I guess you're
right on Lake Superior.
You're up on Lake Superior in the Upper Peninsula?
Yeah, you get that, what they call lake effect snow. It just keeps coming and coming and coming. And, you know, cows, actually, they're pretty good animals. They know how to survive by themselves, but you got to keep them dry. They can stand cold as long as their legs and everything don't get wet.
Indeed. I don't know a whole lot about cows. And I do know they don't have top teeth, right? They have bottom teeth, but they're top. I've had a cow kind of gnaw at my hand once. It was actually kind of fun.
Yeah, they're good people, if you will, as long as you understand them, you know. Yeah. When they're small, actually you can bring them up just like a dog and pet them, but when they get to be like 1,000 pounds, and they want you to move out of the way, you move. They give you a nudge.
I don't have a whole lot of experience with cows. I do remember as a teenager, I had a friend who he had a farm, and the neighboring farm had some steer. Of course, steer and cow, the steer are the neutered males, the castrated males, and the cows give milk, but these were steer. And he thought it would be great fun to chase them around in his Volkswagen. Well, the Volkswagen tipped over, we rolled over, and we crawled out the windows and had to push our VW back over on its wheels with the these steer staring at us. And I'm fortunate that they didn't decide to chase us around.
That was a good time, was it not?
It was a different time. Different time. I don't recommend tipping cows over. I don't recommend chasing them around in a VW or even in a tractor. That was another experience. Those aren't good things to do.
When you get a steer, you know, you sell them because males are useless, pal. You know, I only save the heifers, the females.
Well, Bob, this is primarily a non-cow show. I'm happy to have a little bit of cow discussion because cows are I like cows quite a bit. Do you have any non-cow issues you'd like to discuss with me?
No, not real well. It's only snow and cows. Thank you for your time, pal.
Well, thank you for your call. I do appreciate it, and it's perfectly good to have some some cow news on this non-cow show for purposes of diversity. It's the kind of diversity that I welcome. Thank you very much, Bob. Let's go to Ramsey in Canada. Ramsey, welcome to the show.
Hello, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, nice talking to you again. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Ramsey.
Yeah, you see, sir, I just want to tell you something. I did the same thing that you did. Like, I went to France about 2 years ago. I went to Paris. And, yeah, like, I totally agree with people like Marc Collet and other European activists have said, like, the place is not... Like, there are areas there, like, they're not French at all. Like, you think, like, you're in Africa, you think you're in Senegal or in Sierra Leone or something like that. The area where I lived, there wasn't French at all. Like, it was African. And also, so another thing that really shocked me, like, there was so many Indians there. Like, I'm walking towards the Eiffel Tower area, and there were Indians on the street selling toys, selling flashlights, selling all this cheap stuff.
Okay. Now, you say Indians. Do you know they were from India? Could they have been from Pakistan or an Arab country? Do you know they were Indians?
Yeah. You see, so there were Indians. There were Indians from India, Indians from Pakistan. And, like, there was also people from Algeria selling cigarettes. One guy came to me when I came out of the subway selling me cigarettes, and he was like, and he said his name was Omar, so he looked like an Algerian or Moroccan.
Yeah, Algerians have been fixtures there for decades.
I met one guy there who was like fourth generation, and I'm like, that was really, I found out to be like kind of, I didn't know that they lived there for that long. And also, sir, I'm a big soccer fan, and see, sir, if you look at the French team, it's like, if these people take their jerseys, if these people like play with no jersey on, you think, like, you're looking at an African team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, African team, yeah. The situation with Algeria is an unusual one. Algeria was not treated by France as simply a colony. Algeria was ruled by France from the early 1800s. I don't remember the exact year, but even before the southeastern area of France around Nice. Algeria, even before that was incorporated into France, Algeria was France. And the French, after World War II, were calling, and perhaps even before World War II, were calling Algeria part of metropolitan France, the way that Alaska is not a colony of the United States, it's an integral part of the United States. And there were, I guess, 1.5 million Frenchmen, many of whom were Jews, who were living in Algeria amidst a few million Algerians. So you had a very, very substantial French population in Algeria. And the idea had been to incorporate Algeria as part of France, which is not a very smart move. But that was the move. It led to a near revolution inside France. Actually, it almost led to an invasion of France by the French army itself, the bulk of whom was stationed in Algeria. So it was a very bizarre situation. That's how de Gaulle came in power, and de Gaulle was the one who was able to let go of Algeria, which was not an easy thing for them. And so because during the middle of the 20th century, you had this largely legal fiction that Algeria was an integral part of France, you had a fair number of Algerians come to France, just as there were Frenchmen in Algeria. Algerians come to France. They could come with little impediment. And the phenomenon has been that these early migrants, the early immigrants, did a much better job of assimilating into French life than their children and grandchildren, who have become increasingly alienated. And of course, we're seeing the same thing in the United States. San Bernardino shooter was born in America, but of Afghan parentage, right, or Pakistani parentage. The Orlando shooter, again, parents from Afghanistan. He was born in the United States, and you know the press will often call these Americans, but you know what it shows is that even the immigrants who come and might want to work hard and this and that, they're, especially when you have mass immigration, their children, the second generation and the third generation, are likely to be alienated and hostile. This has been the experience that we've had. It's been the experience in Europe and, you know, in France and England. So you were there. May I ask you, Ramsey, are you Quebecois or are you Anglo?
No, I'm in Ontario.
Okay. But I assume you probably speak French pretty well due to the bilingual education?
I learned it in school, but I never used it. Like, I wouldn't say I'm really good at the French language. But see, sir, the thing about you said, like, I agree with you. You see, how I see it is that a lot of the Algerians or whatever, they go to France or they go to places like that, it's always in their head the history of what happened to them. You know, and some people have that in their head the whole time. Some people let it go. So, regarding the San Bernardino or Florida or whatever, wasn't that a false flag? Like, or maybe I'm or
well, you're going to find people who are going to say everything's a false flag. I have a higher standard before I'm going to say something's a false flag. But regardless of whether it's a false flag, let's leave that as a separate issue. The people who it's being blamed on, they are born in the United States of foreign parentage. And so, if you don't want to accept the official line that these were the actual shooters, still the official line is that these second generation people were alienated. And you certainly find this in the experience of France and Britain, where crime rates among the children of immigrants are much higher than the crime rates of the immigrants themselves.
I've noticed that too, yeah. And but see, so also, sir, in my opinion, it's also the education. Like what I noticed is that you have people coming in from the city who are, like, educated in private schools or whatever, and then you have people immigrating who come from the village who don't have any education at all and who come and go to the West, France, England, Belgium, or whatever, and then they're, like, living in their own ghetto kind of thing, and then when they see a white guy, they look at white people like they're, like, this big racist monster, and they don't want to assimilate, and they don't want to do anything to contribute to the country, you know, like they just maintain with their own culture, and they attack the Western culture. So, so that's how they inflame hatred and cause tension. And see, and these people shouldn't be living in the West.
Yeah, I have a question for you, Ramsey, being that you live in Canada, and Canada has different immigration laws from the United States. Now, Canada has high levels of immigration, but in the United States, the main avenue of immigration has been family reunification, which is now being described as chain migration, and very accurately described as chain migration, but the actual policy is family reunification. And this is something that prioritizes family connections over any other attribute that someone has. Now, in Canada, I believe that there's some sort of point-based system. And so there's priority to people who have education, who might have some capital to bring, some money to bring, this type of thing. So you're not necessarily getting the same grade, but that's not to say that the immigration into Canada has been problem-free. So with your point-based system, are you still seeing there in Ontario and the rest of Canada, are you still seeing all sorts of problems from immigration? What is your assessment of immigration into Canada?
Well, yeah, sir, if you look at the history and I look at, like, my assessment is that immigration has damaged Canada, just like it did it's doing in France. It's just that and the main people that we have here are mainly Chinese. Like you see a Chinatown in every city, a Chinese supermarket, and also people coming in from Korea, the Philippines, India, Pakistan. You have people from the Somalia, people from not very much from South America. Like we have, and there's like quite a bit from Central America, like El Salvador, stuff like that, and. And yeah, like it's not so just like anybody would make an assessment, like when a country is homogeneous or homogeneous, it's much better than a country that's multicultural. It's just life is a lot easier when you have multiculturalism. It's more confusing, more frustrating. You have to know this guy's culture, and now, sir, you have Indian Sikhs in the parliament, and these people. Bragged about their turban the whole time since they came here, and we have to listen to them, and again, like if you question it, you don't want to be called racist, and it's not racist to be concerned about your own culture, you know. It's just, but you know, like the media here and the system here says that multiculturalism is a good thing, blah blah blah.
So what I'm hearing is that, you know, even if you're getting maybe a more educated, harder working, less crime prone immigrant population, there's still plenty of problems with it. You're still dealing with the replacement of the native population. You're dealing with repression of any dissent. Anybody who wants to express dissent about this has to shut up. And, of course, in Canada, if your immigration policy is not as idiotic as ours, you lack the freedom of speech to talk about it.
Yeah.
So it seems there's all sorts of problems. And
you see, Turkana is a more politically correct country than the United States, and we have like hate speech laws or and all that nonsense.
Okay, well, we're going to break now. If you'd like to hang on, feel free to hang on, and we can carry it into the next segment.
Okay.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network.
On Republic Broadcasting Network, and go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, and keep this enterprise going. I'm on the phone with Ramsey from Canada. And Ramsey, there is a recent news story over the past 24 hours in the United States that the Trump administration will terminate the temporary immigrant status of some 200,000 or so El Salvadorians who are here fleeing the dangers of the 2001 earthquake in El Salvador. Apparently they've been here for 17 years and everybody forgot that it was supposed to be temporary. And that sets a precedent for maybe another couple hundred thousand from who are fleeing the horrors of the, what was it, 2011 Haitian earthquake and other earthquakes in past decades. So my question is, I've heard a Canadian who doesn't live in Canada say that the Canadian immigration policy is great because the people who come there are they have to meet all of these standards that most Canadians themselves couldn't even meet. Is even if that were true, which I don't believe, is it fair to basically replace en masse a population because you think a foreign population is better than your native population?
Absolutely not.
Okay, thank you. That's the answer I was looking for.
You see, sir, I want to make one point. You see, sir, like these, you know, people from China, India, whatever. Like, they, if you look at these people, they're actually, there's a lot of racism among themselves. You see, so I know a Chinese guy, and he's very proud of where he's from and everything, and he said he doesn't want to deal with white people, black people, but also he's racist towards Chinese people. And he said, look, I'm a Chinese guy from China. There are a lot of Chinese people living here from Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't like each other. So see, if this guy doesn't want to be with people from Hong Kong, how does he expect white people to be with Chinese people coming in into the white people's countries? So a lot of these people are complete hypocrites.
Yeah. And so there you get the divide and conquer. And I remember being in Hawaii many years ago, and you have the Tongans hated the Samoans, because they thought the Samoans were weak, they didn't have a king. The Samoans thought the Hawaiians were weak because they had lost their country, and everybody hated Whitey. It's divide and conquer. Do you have? We only have a minute or two left. What would you like to see happen in Canada? And it doesn't have to be a comprehensive solution, but is there anything that's on the radar that you think would be a good move in the right direction for Canada, something that might be being discussed?
Well, see, so what I want to see is that there has to be you have to have the people have to be given the ground for every opinion to be talked about, and you have to have a debate.
Mm-hmm.
And people have to understand that a lot of damage has been happening in the country.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, a lot of people are blind. They have to wake up, and the immigrants have to accept that they can't just go anywhere and do what they want.
Mm-hmm.
You see, sir, if white people went to China or India or Pakistan, the people over there wouldn't like it at all.
That's
they
right.
They would be totally against it.
Well, that sounds perfectly sensible. I thank you for your call. We are out of time today. Please feel free to call back again. And
yeah, thank you very much.
We will be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.